And I'm thankful that's him. Amen, amen. Take your Bibles, please. Find 1 Samuel chapter 31. Take your Bibles, find 1 Samuel chapter 31. I've got to tell you, I'm still in a Memorial Day mode. And in 1 Samuel chapter 31, my text is going to be 2 Samuel chapter 1. But in 1 Samuel chapter 31, Israel is defeated decisively by the Philistines. It's a terrible defeat. Look at verse 1 of chapter 31, 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled. Know that they fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. You come down to verse 8. Came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. It was such a decisive victory for the Philistines that King Saul was slain and his sons were slain, most notably Jonathan. If we were to read the remainder of chapter 31, they took his body and they dishonored it. They took his armor and they dishonored him greatly. Now, what I want to give you tonight in 1 Samuel, pardon me, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, there's David's song about King Saul. And it's a song of lamentation. It's a song of memorial. And it's really remarkable if you think about it, because Saul, he had so much potential and so much opportunity. But Saul was rebellious and disobedient. And Samuel wrote him off. And he became demented. Holy Spirit left him. Old Testament. And he pursued after David and tried so hard to kill David. But yet David had a respect for him. And there are lessons we can learn from that. Here is David's song. Look, please, in chapter 2. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. That is remarkable when you consider all that Saul did in endeavoring to even murder David. Verse 18. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? Notice, please, that statement. Verse 19, how are the mighty fallen? Verse 25, how are the mighty fallen? Verse 27, how are the mighty fallen? And the sense of it is this, they were mighty, they were warriors, but they fallen. And David laments that. Now, I'm going to focus somewhat on Memorial Day and the reason we have Memorial Day, and I've already said much about that, but before I go in that direction, I want to point out a couple of things that maybe I can help you with. Look, please, at verse 18, and it says, it is written in the book of Jasher. Well, you look all through your Bible, and you won't find the book of Jasher. This afternoon, I looked at some of the commentaries, and in Thomas Cole's commentary, he said this, the book of Jasher, a poetic verse, a poetic book, long since lost. He said, long since lost. Now, I don't know if he meant that the way I took it. But he said, it's long since lost. Maybe men lost it, but I want you to understand something. God didn't lose any books. all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And listen, inspiration applies to what's included, but it also applies to what's omitted. And if God didn't include it, then it's not supposed to be there. God didn't lose any books. I want you to see something else. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, David says, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Now, when I was young, there were certain things that were just not even discussed in polite company. But today we've become somewhat of a coarse and crude and vulgar society. Our popular culture is very coarse. And there are those who take verse 26 and they make it deviant behavior between David and Jonathan. It is not that at all. Amen. And I can clear it up for you. Look at the latter part of it, verse 26. David said, "passing the love of women." Did you notice that? Passing the love of women. That is not the same thing as passing the love of a woman. You study it. David had 8 wives. I don't know how many concubines. David had 8 wives. And the monarchs of the East, and including the kings of Israel, they had many wives. But it never worked out well for them. But here's the sense of it. If a man has many wives, he cannot experience the relationship and the fellowship and the closeness and the intimacy and the joy that comes with one man and one woman. You read Matthew chapter 19, and the Lord was asked about marriage and divorce, and he goes back before the law and he quotes from Genesis chapter 1, and he speaks about a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. And he said, "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And you see, when a man and a woman come together in holy matrimony, there's no closer relationship that two individuals can experience. Lord uses marriage as an illustration of his relationship with the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why does he do that? Because there's no closer relationship that two individuals can experience. Now, David didn't really know that because David had 8 wives plus concubines. If you have 8 wives plus concubines, you would not enjoy that special relationship that one man has with one woman the way God intended it to be. Solomon had 1,000 wives. And he comes down to the end of life's journey and he writes Ecclesiastes and he's in despair. You see, he doesn't have that special relationship that a man has when he loves one woman and lives with her for a lifetime. He has 1,000 wives. He turned his wife, turned his heart toward idols and all that. He comes down to the end of life's journey. He's in despair. And you see, that's the sense of it. Jonathan and David were like-minded. They were very close. They were good friends. And they were better than good friends. They were the best of friends. And they loved one another. But that's as far as it went. I'm going to step aside and just spiritualize this phrase, this statement. How are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen? Verse 19, verse 25. How are the mighty fallen? I'm going to spiritualize it and then we'll get back to the context. How are the mighty fallen? All across America, there are churches that at one time were very influential for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All across America, there are churches with a heritage, Baptist churches with a heritage of standing for the Word of God and preaching the gospel and sending out missionaries and supporting missionaries and training people and discipling people. And so many of them have abandoned the faith and gone in another direction. My, how the mighty have fallen. In 1969, if you were to list the 10 largest churches in America, now numbers aren't everything, but if you were to list the 10 churches in America, 1969, I was 16 years old. I didn't know a thing about churches. 1969, if you were to list the 10 largest churches in America, the 10 churches that had the largest membership and the greatest number in attendance, you'd find one of them was a non-denominational church, one of them was a missionary Baptist church, a predominantly black congregation, and one of them was a Southern Baptist church. The other 7 were independent Baptist churches. The other 7 were independent Baptist churches. Now you look at the 10 largest churches in America, 2025, and not one is an independent Baptist. Now, there are other factors. Admittedly, there are other factors involved, but too many have gone by the wayside. Many years ago, I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I don't keep up with everything. I'm focused right here. I can't do everything. I was in a mission conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we had meetings in the morning, meetings in the evening. The afternoon was free. And so the pastor there, he said, "Well, brother, what do you want to do this afternoon?" I said, "I want to go over and see Tennessee Temple." And he said, "Tennessee Temple? There is no Tennessee Temple. What about Highland Park Baptist Church?" There is no Highland Park Baptist Church. It's gone, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know that at the time. My, how the mighty have fallen. But let's get back to the context. I'll give you three things tonight from David's song, but first, let's pray just briefly. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight for the inspiration, the preservation of the Scriptures, and we're thankful for what we can learn from David's song. If David had been vengeful towards Saul, if David had been bitter towards Saul, I would understand it. But David extended a great measure of grace for Saul. And David lamented Saul's passing. He grieved the passing of Jonathan and certainly all of the soldiers of Israel. I ask you to teach us tonight. I ask in my Savior's name, amen and amen. Three things, David, in the song of 2 Samuel chapter 1, number 1, respect. We'd say honor. And here's the point. We are to honor the office of the presidency, the office of those that are in leadership. We're to honor that office. We are to honor that office. And that's so very important. David had a respect for King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6, he says, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." And you see, David put so much confidence in that he'd been anointed to be the king of Israel. And you'll find that referenced in our text today, verse 14. I didn't read that, but verse 14, it says, "To stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed." You'll find it again in verse 16, the Lord's anointed. You'll find it referenced also in verse 21. And David had a tremendous respect. He honored the man. Now, he also had an affection for the man, and that's remarkable. But he honored the man. He honored the office. Now, dear friends, my opinion, and that's what it is, opinion. Joe Biden's the worst president in my lifetime. That's my opinion. You say, what do you base that on? My observation of living through his administration. And I lived through Jimmy Carter's administration. I used to say that. But Joe Biden's the worst president in my lifetime. That's my opinion. I don't mean to be political. That's just my observation. But I would never do anything to harm him. I would never wish him any harm. And if I were in his presence, I would honor him as the president, even as a former president, because you honor that office. That's so important. It's necessary in a civil society. Now, on the other hand, Donald J. Trump is in his second administration. Not consecutive, but his second administration. If you take the 4 years of his first administration and the time that he's been in office in his second administration, listen to me, there have been 24 attempts on his life. That's incredible. He's been impeached twice. He's been sued several times. He's had a gag order placed on him by a judge in the midst of an election, and he's been given these incredibly exorbitant fines. I mean, they're doing everything they can to take him out. And it's such a shame, such a shame. In the popular culture, they have so encouraged all this nonsense. Some weeks ago, 2 days before an assassination attempt on President Trump, Jimmy Kimmel made a joke referring to First Lady Melania Trump as an expectant widow. You know, it's all in fun. It's funny. Now, after Carrie Fisher was an actress. After her death, Charlie Sheen wrote on his social media, he said, "Dear God, Trump next. Dear God, Trump's next." He wrote that 6 times. Kathy Griffin, not a very funny comedian. She famously did a photo shoot holding a prop of President Trump's bloodied, severed head, 2017. Singer Madonna, I've never bought any of her music, but singer Madonna, she spoke in 2017. She said, "I'm angry, I'm outraged. I've thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House." Johnny Depp, an actor, he said, "When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?" My point is, that encourages folks who hear those things and believe it. And when you call a man a Nazi and you call a man a fascist and you do that all the time, somebody says, well, we got to do something about this. And it's a shame. It is a shame. You know what we need? We need to go back to George Washington's rules of civility. And I don't wish any harm on any of my any politicians or any Americans that disagree with me politically or even theologically. I don't wish any harm on any of them. And really, we should have an honor and respect for one another and certainly for high office. Secondly, there's the regret. In chapter 31, verse 7, they fled. In chapter 31, verse 1, Israel fled. Before the Philistines, they fled. They abandoned their shields. Look at verse 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain. That is not a sincere supplication. That's not a prayer for a drought. But that is simply a lamentation. It is a sorrow. There was a song years ago. It was a sad song, some kind of a love song. But it said, why do the stars keep shining? And the idea was that I'm just so sad that all that just doesn't matter to me right now. It doesn't matter. And that's the sense of it. But then he says this, the shield of the mighty is vilely cast down. When a soldier drops his shield, ancient warfare, and runs away, it's the most shameful thing. It's shameful. And that's what this is about. The mighty is vilely cast down. The shield of Saul is though he'd not been anointed with oil. Lamentation, verse 17, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And there's a sorrow, there's a mourning. Go back to chapter, let's see, go back to chapter 1, look at verse 11, then David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. They mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul, for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. But I remind you, in the course of the history of the United States of America, approximately 2 million individuals have given their lives for the cause of American principles, American interest, and American people. The war between the states has the greatest loss of life of anything in our history, something between 600 to 700,000. World War II, 405,000. World War I, 116,000. The Vietnam War, approximately 58,000. Korean War, 36,000. Revolutionary War, estimate 25,000. War of 1812, 20,000. And it is really worthy of a holiday. Is that what I should call it, a holiday? It's worthy of a day set aside to remember Memorial Day. And I know that Memorial Day has become a day of cookouts and sales at the retail markets and vacation and all that. And I'm not opposed to those things, but we need to remember what it's really about. And it's about those individuals that have given their lives. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater demonstration of love. What more could a person do? And we certainly need to be mindful of those individuals that have paid the ultimate price. And certainly their families. How many families have grieved and suffered so much? And the conclusion of the matter is this. Freedom is not free. Cost a great price to maintain. And those that aren't willing to pay that price, they'll lose it. Number one, respect. Number two, regret. Number three, remember. In verse 18, David said, teach the children of Judah. In Joshua chapter 4, as Joshua led the children of Israel across the River Jordan, they 40 years in wandering in the wilderness, he led them across the River Jordan, and the Lord told him to take 12 stones, one stone for each tribe, and place it in a memorial to mark the place where they crossed over. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then shall ye answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Memorial Day, memorials in general, they are that we might remember the price has been paid, but they're also that we might instruct the next generation. And dear friends, sad to say, many in this generation do not understand American principles, do not understand American exceptionalism, do not understand the cost of liberty. Amen. What a shame, what a shame. The Democratic Minneapolis Mayor, Jacob Frey, he had a Memorial Day message on his social media. He said, "Today we remember George Floyd." He got so much flack that he took it down. The Democrat National Committee posted photographs, pictures of the 13 U.S. service members killed in this current Iran war, and describing it as Trump's fault. And they even got blowback from Democrats, and they had to take that down. But you see, they would use even Memorial Day. The importance of this day somehow to politicize it. So much more could be said. David's song in 2 Samuel chapter 1, it's a song of lamentation over Saul and Jonathan and all the soldiers of Israel that were so badly defeated and the lives that were lost. And for us, we're to have respect for the offices that individuals hold. We're to have civil dialogue. But then we regret the price that has to be paid for freedom. And we mourn for those that have lost their lives, or may I say given their lives. And let us never forget. But let me give you the greatest sacrifice of all. And the men have been singing about it this evening. It's still the blood. Hebrews 10:12. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command." He laid down his life for all of us. And he paid a debt that we could never pay. And gentlemen, it is still the blood. Amen, amen, amen. And if you're here tonight and you've never received a gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ provided it. If you've never received it, if you never trusted him, if you've never gotten that settled, you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have an assurance of eternity. You'll be reconciled to your Creator. You'll be adopted in the family, and you will have the abundant life. Not only will you have eternity, you'll have purpose right here and now. You're right. If you're not certain about salvation, won't you let me or someone here tonight, we've got a whole row of preachers right here, have someone here tonight help you to understand the truth of the gospel. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you so much. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. What would the Lord ask of you tonight? Let's examine ourselves, but also, we agreed to pray for these many requests, and I know that that's asking a lot. Let's examine ourselves, but let's pray for these many requests. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for these men that are visiting with us. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for those that are participating by live stream. Father, please help us to be mindful of the great price that's been paid, for the wonderful benefits we enjoy as citizens of this great republic. Help us never to take these things for granted. Help us to honor those in office, local and federal. Help us, Father, be for you what we should be. Father, we're grateful for the price that was paid on Calvary's cross. Help us to be mindful of that great price. Never to take that for granted. Thank you for your goodness to us. Please bless this time of invitation and this time of prayer. We ask in our Savior's name. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Friends, let's examine ourselves. If you need someone to pray with you, there's someone available. Let's pray for these many requests as our pianist plays softly.